evening, and welcome to Destiny New Image Ministry Podcast Series. This is Robin Thornhill, and Melvin and I are delighted that you decided to listen to the podcast this evening. Tonight, I'm going to talk about procrastination. So let's get started with prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to be used to share your word and wisdom. Use me as a vessel to enlighten, inspire, strengthen, encourage, and even correct. I depend on you, and for all that is said and done, you will get the glory, you will get the honor, and you will get the praise. Amen. Procrastination, definition. To defer to a future time, to put off until another day. We're going to talk about three things tonight. We're going to talk about why we procrastinate, the dangers of procrastination, and strategies to break the cycle of procrastination. Honestly, all of us procrastinate from time to time, but if you find that you're procrastinating quite often and across various platforms and spectrums, you're dealing with a serious form of procrastination. So why do we procrastinate? Four main reasons seem to keep popping up in my research. They are, number one, fear of failure. Number two, excessive perfectionism. Number three, low energy levels. Number four, a lack of focus. I'd like to add a fifth, struggle with faith. Number one, fear of failure. When we procrastinate because we are fearful of trying and failing, there may be some immediate level of comfort in doing this. But the danger is that if we try to shield ourselves from disappointment by procrastinating, we're going to remain unproductive. God needs us to move forward, and a lack of progress in our life is an insult to God's grace. That's right. And it also blocks any opportunity for God to reward us because of our efforts. Proverbs 12:24 says, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor." So how do we fight against a fear of failure as a part of a way that we are procrastinating? The strategy is to look at failure as not as failure. Change the way you're viewing it. Most times if you've made a mistake, it can be fixed, but you need to stop thinking of it in terms of it's the end of the world. And try to learn from the mistake. If you don't try in the first place, then you're not going to have anything to show for your efforts at all. Number two, excessive perfectionism. Another common form of procrastination or cause of it is perfectionism. The danger in this is that if you're going to always be striving for something to be totally perfect, you're putting an unreasonable amount of pressure on yourself to succeed. How do you fix this? You do your best. You give 100% and you celebrate finishing the task and understanding the results. Now, if there are other folks critiquing your work, keep in mind their idea of perfection may differ from yours. And everyone's opinion doesn't necessarily make your opinion less than theirs. Number three, low energy levels. If you lack energy, then it stands to reason that you're not going to feel like doing very much at all. But you need to be careful because there may be an underlying cause of your low energy, which may need medical attention. So start with first trying to figure out if you've overcommitted yourself. There's too many things on your calendar, so that means you're not efficiently managing your time. Are you getting enough sleep? Ask yourself that question. And then are you managing your stress? Because all of these things, lack of sleep, overcommitment, stress, will contribute to a low energy level. The danger is being stagnant. And Proverbs 24 says, "Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest." So keep that in mind. And make sure you get your low energy checked by a professional. Also, if you're trying to start with first level management of low energy, think about what you're eating. Are you moving enough? Again, your sleep, the stress level. And if there seems to be no change, again, seek professional help. Number four, lack of focus. If you frequently feel directionless and you don't have any type of life plan, you haven't set short-term goals or long-term goals, you're going to have a problem because you won't have a target to move towards. So you may quite honestly feel like you're just drifting along in life. So what you need to do is understand that there's a danger in this, because without a target, you can't have a strategy, because you don't know your what, when, where, how. And so therefore, you won't have an established endpoint. So you'll spend all of your time expending energy, and it's going nowhere or all over the place. Let me just say this. We know as Christians, Proverbs 16:9 tells us that we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. So it's important that we lean not to our own understanding, that we acknowledge God in what we're doing so that he will tell us what his plans are for our life. When the two of them line up, that's a formula for success. But it starts with you having a plan. And there's no need for you to sit and wait for a heavenly course or a heavenly visitation to appear before you make a plan. Just make sure it lines up with God's plan for your life. Ben Franklin said it best, failing to plan is planning to fail. So the way you fix this is you start off with short-term goals, then long-term goals, and you apply the smarter goal-setting model that I'll give you right now. So you may want to take some notes. SMARTER is an acronym, and I will tell you what each letter means. S is for specific. The more specific you are about your goals, the better and more able you'll be able to accomplish them. Make your specific goals quantifiable and measurable. Zig Ziglar, the master coach and money man and motivational speaker, says, you cannot make it as a wandering generality. You must become a meaningful specific. This also applies to setting goals. Be specific. M is for meaningful. When your goals have a deep enough meaning to you, you'll do whatever you need to do to achieve them. So right next to your specific goal, write out what that goal means to you. What are you passionate about? What would happen if you didn't meet this goal? That will tell you how meaningful it is to you. A, achievable. This is the third step, and it's really important that you make sure that you set goals that you can really achieve. And like I said, start off with short-term goals and then move on to longer-term goals. But make sure that you set goals that you know that you will achieve them, because you are committed to making it happen. R is for relevant. The goal has to say something to you. It has to speak to you. And that means it must line up and be in harmony with what you actually want out of life. It should speak to a set of core values that you have. And if you select a goal that does not do that, you're going to end up getting frustrated and you'll give up. T, your goal should be time bound, meaning that you have to ensure that you set a date. You have a deadline, and that way you will hold yourself accountable to meet that deadline. The E is for evaluate. This is important because you need to look at your goals in terms of what the progress is, what your progress is, and make sure that you set up a system to evaluate your goals, a written system or an electronic system, so that you can track your goals and assess your progress. Finally, R is for readjust. If you find that you keep hitting a brick wall, perhaps you need to readjust your method and your techniques. Maybe you need to tweak your plan. It doesn't mean you have to throw everything out and start all over again. It just means that you keep trying different approaches until you get closer and closer to your goals. Finally, I mentioned that I wanted to add a fifth point about procrastination relative to faith. In the sixth chapter of Luke, and I won't read that passage, read it at your leisure, there is a familiar story there about Jesus, and he's talking to different people who are enamored by him, and they run up to him and they say, "Jesus, Jesus, we want to follow you, Jesus." All right, well, we know how that story goes. People get very excited and they want to do something, but then when they find out the cost involved, quite often they'll pull back. So then you hear a bunch of excuses. "Well, see, what happened was I got to go bury my father. I have to say goodbye to my family. I have to bring in my crops," whatever different excuse people come up with. And probably in their minds, it's plausible, but it's an excuse. So I am submitting that we need to ask ourselves, do we believe by faith, and this is regardless of the outcome, that everything that we do lining up with God's principles is going to work for our good. And we are going to be victorious and the winners in the end because of our faith in God's word. So let me just now leave you with some six takeaways. You know, Melvin and I love doing these takeaways, and we pray that these takeaways are helping you. Because we need to understand that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says that if we trust in the Lord and we lean not to our own understanding, we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. So we're going to stop making excuses, stop this procrastination madness, and go on and do what we need to do because we know God created us for a purpose. We are a unique expression of his love. We're here on assignment. And more importantly, we have someone's answer. Somebody is waiting on our time, our talent, our treasure, our gift, our ministry. And so we need to just get unstuck and get her done. How do we get unstuck? Here are the principles. First, number one, embrace necessary change. Now, change can be inconvenient. It may also hurt. It may cost us, but it's temporary. But it's also necessary. Number two, shut down self-doubt. Watch what you say to yourself. Know that you were designed to succeed. Remember that, please. Number three, trust in God's promises. He said he would bring you to your expected end. He keeps his promises. Number four, be confident. Know that you are the master of your choices. So you don't need to succumb to intimidation by people or be afraid of any situation. Number five, leap. Take the leap. Passivity and complacency are rooted in doubt. You must take action. No risk, no reward. You know, Peter was the only disciple who experienced walking on water, but he took the leap. He had to first get out of the boat. Finally, celebrate yourself. Self-love, just like self-care, is very important. When you reach a goal, give God the glory for that. But then treat yourself to something that makes you happy. Well, that's all I have for procrastination. And again, as always, if you'd like a list of sources and citations, shoot me an email. I'd like to also help some of you who might be listening to this who are stuck in a different sort of way. You're stuck in that you have not made the most important decision of your life. And that decision is salvation. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, or if you walked with the Lord and now you've gone astray, I'm getting ready to offer you an opportunity to set it right, to stop procrastinating in this area, to make a decision by just simply saying a prayer with me. It'll only take you a minute. And so if you're willing, let's begin. Lord Jesus, I have sinned and I need a redeemer. I need a savior. I am sorry for my sins. I believe you died on the cross to free me from sin and damnation. I accept you now in my heart, and I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for adopting me and restoring me back into the family. Brother, sister, if you said it and you meant it, I'd like to be the first to welcome you and welcome you back to the family. Now, next step. I need you to do this. Seriously. Get connected to a Bible-believing and teaching church so that you can learn and grow. It's important. If you are lost and confused about how to do this, contact Melvin and I are here. Contact us. And we will give you some direction. In the words of Carol Burnett, I'm so glad we had this time together. So for now, it's time to say so long. But Melvin and I will be back next week presenting together, this time on podcast number 13. And the topic is intimacy. Mark your calendars. Because this one's going to be real good. Be blessed because you are blessed. And this is Robin. And have a good night. You're